I'm Norman Gilliland. Welcome to the Midday for a Friday. And once again, we're here in our Buck studio for live music. The live music coming from the piano, as played by Vincent Fu, and we'll also hear from the oboe of Laura Modiski. And welcome, Vincent. Welcome back.
Thank you, Norman. Nice to be back.
Not so long ago, you were accompanying Alison Cambridge.
That's correct, yes.
And I see you have brought the same music technique, let's say, that you had then, which is, say, you're playing everything from an iPad.
That's correct. This allows me to essentially bring my entire library with me wherever I go. So I may be in a situation where I feel like, well, I could really use some time with this piece of music. And then there it is. It's very, very convenient. I don't have to actually bring physical paper music with me everywhere.
Are a lot of people doing that?
Yes. A lot more are doing it now. And I predict that it will become more and more common as people become more comfortable with the technology.
Do you think it's going to catch on for orchestras? Because what about all the little times where the conductor says, oh, you know, put a mark here, put a mark there kind of thing?
You know, I don't think it will catch on with orchestras. I've seen it used in more popular music, like big bands. In my opinion, more problems with trying to incorporate this technology into orchestras. One being that there's a light shining.
Yeah, you know? Right. The glare alone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, to have so many people on stage with just all of, you know, these lights just like shining up and reflecting in people's glasses and things like that.
Yeah. You see a lot of orchestral players making faces trying to figure out, is that a note or is that a gnat?
That's another thing, too, is that the screen size is considerably smaller. It took me about a month to get comfortable reading smaller print music.
How do you turn pages?
You can either use your hands and just touch the screen, but that's inconvenient for a pianist. And so I use a foot pedal, and it's a Bluetooth pedal that communicates wirelessly to advance the page forward or back as the need be.
Well, in those outdoor concerts, at least you don't have to worry about your music blowing away.
That is true, yes.
Well, we're going to start out with some Bach, and I was thinking about the Bach sons today, and I'm not sure. I wonder if any of them wrote toccatas, certainly not to the extent that Johann Sebastian did.
Yes, I don't believe that his sons wrote any toccatas. I could be wrong, and if they did, they certainly aren't anywhere near as famous and popular as...
As several of his.
Mm-hmm, correct.
These would have been written for, well, he wrote them for the organ, he wrote them for the harpsichord.
That's correct, yes, yes. And so the one that I would like to play is one that's typically played either on harpsichord or piano. And the reason why I like his keyboard toccatas is they're expansive pieces, and they tend to cover a lot of ground emotionally. Involving a fugue, which I have been fascinated with all my life. But not only that, just when you think things are over and you've just enjoyed a really, really nice Bach fugue, as they always tend to be, he launches into a double fugue. So it's like he doubles down on the fugue idea.
Which is something that defies comprehension and mastery of a lot of composers, certainly many, many students.
Right. I mean, writing a fugue is difficult enough, and then going ahead and just doing one better with a double fugue just, yeah, as you say, defies comprehension.
So let's see, toccata, that comes from the verb toccare, meaning to touch, and you do certainly, it's a show of skill in that sense, and fugue comes from the Latin to fly. So we're going to touch and fly.
That's correct, yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I love his toccatas, particularly because they're virtuosic to an extent, and again, as I say, they, you know, cover as much ground as humanly possible in the fugue area.
So this is the toccata in C minor.
Correct.
Correct. Cut in C minor by Johann Sebastian Bach, and I interviewed Ton Koopman a long time ago, and he said something to the effect of, you could take music of other composers and play it on instruments for which it was not originally written, and he used an interesting phrase. He said the music was away, but with Bach, it comes through. I mean, any number of instruments, and Bach somehow has this nature that comes through.
That's very true. I definitely do feel that way, that no matter what combination of instruments, whether or not they're the original instruments that he intended to for the music to be played on, for instance, these were intended for harpsichord, and a lot of chamber music is played on modern instruments instead of period instruments, and it works just as well. And you know, also modern practices, modern ideas of interpretation can be applicable too. So it's you know, Bach is just one of those very, very flexible composers that can work in just about any capacity.
We'll be back with Vincent Fu, and we'll also hear the sound of the oboe played by Laura Modiski when we return in a moment. This is Wisconsin Public Radio. And back now, we're about 5 minutes away from our 12:30 quiz question for today. We'll have something by Robert Schumann before we get to it, and it's going to feature Vincent Fu at the piano, and Laura Modiski is the oboist for one of these romances for oboe and piano that Schumann wrote. And those are the original instruments, aren't they, for the pieces that he wrote for oboe and piano?
That's my version of it, yes.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you teach an oboe method in particular, do you not?
Oh, are you... No.
You
mean
no,
the Alexander
no method.
Technique? Is that what you're referring
mm-hmm.
to? No, that's actually separate from the oboe. But I
oh,
do teach
is.
A lot of oboe.
Mm-hmm.
But Alexander technique is actually a type of body work.
Oh. For all musicians, then.
For anyone, actually.
Anyone, period.
Yeah. It's a lot of people with chronic pain, a lot of people with back pain or neck headaches, things like that, will do it. It's kind of a body use re-education is a way to describe it, dealing with the mind-body connection and just being aware of how you use your body. So it certainly is very attractive to musicians and actors, athletes, anyone that needs their mind and body to deliver at a certain time.
Are there perils being an oboist that other instrumentalists wouldn't necessarily have in terms of, you know, the mind-body disconnect?
Well... I think so. but we certainly, you've talked to a number of oboists, we certainly battle with our reeds a lot. And, you know, we make our own reeds. One thing about the oboe is that our reeds are always changing. So our instrument is always changing.
Because of the humidity, you mean?
Yeah, there's a break-in period and maybe 8 good hours of playing in a reed. And then there's a slow decline until it dies. So we're constantly we have to be very aware of what our reed's doing and be prepared to alter how we play to accommodate that so that we always sound like ourselves.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of responsibility.
Feels like it. It's fun, though.
And just a word or two, what about these romances that is appealing for an oboist?
Well, the oboe can really sing, and you hear a lot of the solos we get in the orchestral repertoire, just gorgeous, beautiful melodies. And while these romances are not especially difficult technically, the phrasing and certainly the breathing presents a challenge. Once you get over that, though, it's just an opportunity to showcase the beauty of the oboe. And we're going to play the first romance, which is kind of nicely set in the mid to upper register, and just it's a great chance to sing. And of course, it's a great work for both of us because we're really equal partners, and so it's fun to communicate through our phrasing that way.
Here it is, the Romance Number 1 by Schumann. Romance, the first of a set by Robert Schumann, featuring the pianist Vincent Fu and doing the heavy breathing. Oh, not really, not really. Laura Budisky with the oboe. And now we're going to stay in the Romantic era for a while with something by Frédéric Chopin, who wrote not too many of these ballades, did he, Vincent?
No, there are only four, and but boy, what four they are. I've always been in love with these pieces. And again, I guess maybe for a similar reason why I loved the Bach that I chose earlier. It covers a lot of ground emotionally. It's not necessarily like the most virtuosic piece, although there are very, very virtuosic moments in it. But the strength of this piece doesn't lie solely in that. It lies pretty much, in my opinion, in just keeping a balance between all of the elements, lyrical melody, the forms that it goes through in its transformation, particularly in the quiet moments, just an ability to stay calm and patient and allow everything to happen. The tumultuous stuff will arrive soon enough. No worries.
This is the Ballade in F minor by Chopin.
Thank you.
John Field once described Frédéric Chopin as a sick room talent, but I don't think he heard him play that one. the ballade in F minor by Chopin, the pianist Vincent Fu, from whom we'll hear more. In fact, we'll hear an original composition of his in a couple of minutes. Now that you've cooled off a little bit, Vincent, a word about Andalusia.
Yes, this is a piece I wrote about 10 years ago, and it was an overnight composition, shall we say. I just couldn't sleep, and I was meditating on what it meant to be from the region, Andalusia. And at the time, I was very fond, and still am, of the composer Albéniz. And I've always had an ear for flamenco music, and I love the culture. And I thought, well, what better way to use my insomniac time than to try to explore those sounds?
And the result is Andalusia.
Yes. Thank you.
The name of the piece, Andalusia, kind of an homage to Albanus, although you wouldn't certainly mistake the style of Vincent Fu for that of Albanus.
No, I guess, well, I wouldn't want to. I wanted to have just a general feel for, you know, what I was feeling at that moment, drawing upon all my influences at the time, at the moment.
And what are you going to be doing next? What is your next performance on the horizon?
Well, there are a lot of... Actually, what I do is not so much this solo piano performance. Most of what I do is collaborative piano. And so I'll be performing with, among others, a professor of trombone here at the University of Wisconsin School of Music, and Mark Hetzler, and his group, Sinister Resonance. And we're sort of a crossover group. We're all classically trained, but we also play jazz and improvise, and we delve into rock sounds with heavy distortion.
Well, we're seeing more and more of that lately, aren't we?
Certainly, yes.
Are there particular instruments that you, as a pianist, enjoy playing with? You seem to cover all the bases.
Yes, I am particularly fond of oboe.
Aha.
And so, yes, I've played a lot of oboe repertoire. Strings, obviously. I have a fondness for violin, viola, cello. I have done a lot of brass repertoire, particularly French horn. So I'm very fond of 20th century new music type of stuff. And that's actually what I do most. So what I did today was quite unusual and a little stressful for me.
Well, I see there was kind of a wardrobe change after the Chopin. You had to cool off a little bit and lighten up. But yes, this is, I can imagine this would be a little bit more stressful, playing an entire Chopin ballade and, of course, the Toccata in C minor by Bach, plus your own piece in the course of a fairly short period of time.
Yes, well, it was my pleasure.
Well, we'll certainly look forward to your next time, Vincent. You've been around this area for quite a long time, haven't you?
Yes, this is where I've lived the longest, so I've definitely established roots here. I really appreciate the musical community here, and it's what has allowed me to grow and flourish as a musician. And so that's why I'm more fond of playing with other musicians in an ensemble, in a community, rather than being the soloist up front. I prefer to remain anonymous, essentially.
Well, we've done our best to short-circuit that process. Vincent Fu, thanks for coming by again today.
Thank you for having me.
Look forward to your next visit, and thanks also to Laura Medisky, who provided the oboe for the Schumann a little earlier.